Okay, thank you, worship team. I want to just pray now for Shannon as she comes to bring the message. Come, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Speak your message through Pastor Shannon. Amen.
Wonderful, wonderful, Lord. It is Pentecost Sunday. How many of you knew that? And I'm going to be perfectly honest, if you were not here for the first session, you missed out. Just saying. And I'd encourage you to take time to watch what Linda shared. It was good. And we are so blessed. The Lord has filled this place with and gifted and called so many of us to different ministries. And she is a teacher, one of our many teachers. And we're blessed by it. So thank you again, Linda. She started by talking about worship and the Holy Spirit. And we went into a time where we just let Holy Spirit flow through us as we sang and remember how good our God is. How good our God is, swell. On all the time. Yes, amen. Okay, sorry. I'm just doing this to get prepared to save time because I know our tummies start to growl at a certain time. Oops, sorry. And I'll try to keep my hands up here and not down here when I talk. Today is the day of Pentecost. And the word penta means five. And we know that, well, you know by the message, my title here, he is risen. And 50 days later. He is risen. And so we're talking about an event that happens that is so critical to the birth of the church and to each believer in the power and the presence of Holy Spirit in us. So the day of Pentecost, what was really going on in Jerusalem, well, all over, is it was also known as a day, and let me see if I can pronounce it the same way, the Shavah, I think it's called. Shavah, not Shabbat, Shavah, is the day where the children of Israel came, they gathered together to celebrate being given the Torah through Moses. And it is also a celebration of the wheat harvest, of the first fruits of the wheat harvest. So keep those things in mind, the giving of the law and the first fruits of the wheat harvest. So the first time we hear about Holy Spirit is in Genesis 1 and 1 to 3. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering. And I, in quotes, that's an add-in from another translation, brooded over the water. When you look at various translations, when we look at this darkness, this emptiness, it also means the earth was formless and chaotic. It was in chaos. And the Holy Spirit is hovering over this, and then what happens is Father God, so we know Father God, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all together, three in one. Holy Spirit is hovering over that, and as he speaks, Holy Spirit in power moves upon the earth, on the waters, and starts creating. And then it says, God says, and let there be, and we know all of the creation that starts manifesting at the word of the Lord and the presence of the Holy Spirit in this at this time. So we talk about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was hovering. Well, what is the Spirit of God when we talk about that? There's the Hebrew word that is there several times. Well, talking about it is, let me see if I can do this because I'm Irish, not German, or Hebrew. Ruach, you got to put that little at the end of it. Got to kind of cough. Ruach. So the word for spirit is ruach. You see you can barely see. I apologize for that. Again, what I see on my computer and what comes up here is two different things sometimes. But it is the Holy Spirit. That word ruach refers to the Holy Spirit. In this capacity, wind, breath, mind, spirit, as an energy of life, endowing men with various gifts, impelling prophets to utter instruction or warning, the manifest in the Shekinah glory, energy of life. I love this kind of pulling it all together. Holy Spirit is God's personal presence. God's personal presence with all of that. One of the things about Holy Spirit is we know he's invisible. Oh, sorry, which I already said, the energy of life. But when we think of him, the Ruach, how many, well, let me go back a bit. What do you see there? Sheets on the line? Can you see the sheets on the line? There's some clothespins there. And why does the sheet look like that? Because the wind's blowing it. Can you see the wind? No, you can only see it because you see the effect of the wind. So Holy Spirit is also, wind is also referred to as Ruach. I am not a linguist, so please forgive me for anybody who might hear us who isn't saying, she's got that all wrong. That's okay. So Ruach also means wind. And again, how many of you have ever felt the wind on your face, on your skin? You can feel it, but you don't necessarily see it. And then we can think, wind is also powerful. How many of us have seen that the last little while? Last Saturday night, we were all going, woo, what's going on? What kind of a wind do we got here? So the wind can be very soft and gentle or very powerful. This word, ruach, also means breath. Breath. And when we hear about the breath, we remember it described as God in Genesis 2:7. It says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath, the ruach, of life, and man became a living being. So we want to recognize that ruach also means breath, and the breath of God, which keeps us alive. God comes as the living spirit that keeps us alive. And so when we go and continue to move on through the Bible, we recognize the Holy Spirit has been with us and a part of us and a part of God's plan all along. We can start with the Ruach, that the Spirit of God is with the people. How many of you remember the story of the burning bush? How about the pillar of fire, that moved, got ahead of myself here. The presence of God was in the fire and the pillar of fire and in the cloud. So by day they had a cloud, by night they had a pillar of fire. God's presence, his spirit, his ruach, was there. We see that the Spirit of God began to move on man and impress upon them and equip men and empower men. How many of you can tell me how did God move through Joseph of the Old Testament? Dreams. And actually, you know what? He did the same to the Father in the New Testament, Jesus' adoptive father. He gave him dreams. Yes. And also with Joseph, he gave him interpretation of dreams. When they built the tabernacle, God's spirit, his ruach, moved on people with special giftings for specific tasks. And they built the beautiful tabernacle with all its curtains and gold objects and that, which was lovely. Sorry, I lost my spot. God also empowered people to be prophets. He gave to them through the Spirit, through the Ruach, to see what was happening in history from God's point of view. So some of these prophets, well, not some of them, they all began to reveal to the people what was happening. Do you know what they did with the prophets for the most part? Killed them, because they didn't like what they were saying, because they were revealing to them this spirit that was with God in the beginning, been God, a part of God all along, who had helped create the beautiful creation. But because of their corrupt hearts, because they engaged with evil and they began to release again into the earth the chaos through their injustice and uncaring hearts. And the prophets came to warn. But you know what the prophets also did? Oops, I'm ahead of myself. I thought I put these up here. So I didn't put these scriptures up here, but in Ezekiel 36 and 37, you'll find the story of God talking to the prophets about the coming of the Spirit of God. In Ezekiel 37, we know the story of the dry bones. Isaiah 61, we can start at the beginning, but go all the way to the end, because there is an amazing move of the Spirit spoken of there. Jesus starts, reminds us when he says, the Spirit of the living God is upon me. Joel 2 is the one we always go to. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. God promised that what was happening would not continue. The chaos and the corruption that the enemy wants to come over and create the chaos all over again in the earth. He isn't going to win. He hasn't won. He's a defeated foe. So we look at this, and then we've gone through scripture, and again, we've just touched on things. But we arrive to the time of Jesus. And Jesus comes to be baptized, and the heavens open, and the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. And right here in this moment begins a new thing as his ministry starts, where he is bringing new creation into the earth, the kingdom into the earth. He's the first of many sons. And again, if you can't read them, I've got them later. I can give you all the gospels speak of the baptism of Jesus, where they see Holy Spirit come. In what form did Holy Spirit come and land on Jesus? A dove. Well, let's talk about another story. Way back in Genesis 8, we know the whole story of the flood, and the flood is now over. And we're waiting for things, the boat of animals and people are waiting for things to dry up. And it says, listen, see what you catch in here. God remembered Noah. I put it up here too, I think. I don't know if you can read it. God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a what? He sent Rach. He sent Rach, the wind, over the earth, and the waters receded. Now we know he waited, he sent out the dove, he sent out a raven, and he sent out the dove. The dove came back with nothing. Noah waited another 7 days, and he sent out the dove, and the dove returned with an olive leaf in its mouth, a freshly picked olive leaf. And they knew the new creation. You see, God had wiped out all the evil and the chaos that had come up and started again a new creation. But he also made a promise, I'm never going to do this again. Not in this way. But as we see with Jesus, and as we'll go back there and look at him in the water of baptism as he starts his ministry, he's bringing in new creation, the new of the kingdom of God. The wind of the Spirit blew on him. The dove came with that imagery of the new life coming. Started there, and now here's Jesus coming and bringing that new, the Holy Spirit coming upon him. We see God's kingdom coming in this new creation. His very presence, God's personal presence, came on Jesus. As the Holy Spirit filled him, God filled him with his personal presence. And sometimes we think, oh, well, he already had that. But you remember, Jesus came and became fully man. Though he knew about his heavenly Father, it was at this point he became filled again with his presence, his personal presence. And then we see the kingdom of new life come through him. Filled with God's personal presence, every person he touched that was sick was healed. They went from sickness to recovering their life. Every person that he forgave, the sin and the shame that was on their life was broken off. They were forgiven. And then the absolutely same, very practical, he raised the dead to life and brought new life. He brought kingdom life, kingdom power, because the presence, the personal presence of God, the Holy Spirit, he was filled with. The kingdom comes with new creation life over death. It has conquered death. Has Jesus conquered death in the grave? And he did it before his death, burial, and resurrection. But after that, it is a even bigger and wider and bigger deal, if I could put it that way. Because it means there's something coming for us. I don't know about you, I get really excited when I hear about it. I think about what he's done. Jesus was raised to life by what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God's energizing spirit, raised him from the dead. When Jesus went to the cross, knowing he was going to the grave, he believed that the Holy Spirit was going to quicken him, was going to bring him back to life and fulfill the promises of the Word of God. Is that a promise for us as well? That's a promise for us as well. Because you're so good? Because who dwells in you? And Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is quickening your mortal bodies. We just have to grab hold and accept it. Not just read it as words and come to Pentecost Sunday and think, oh, ain't that nice. Jesus came to show us the Father, and we've been talking about the Father, and he's good. He's good. Abba, Papa, he is so good. He came to show us God's kingdom that's upside down from the world, or really the world is what's upside down, and what's right side up is the kingdom of God. Right. He came to bring us out of the darkness and the chaos of the world into the kingdom of his Father, into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of new creation. And it's the same power that we see in him that works in us. Jesus said in Acts 1, he's talking to his disciples, he says, I want you to wait in Jerusalem, and we're going to look at that a little closer. And wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you've heard me speak about. So we're going to take a little stroll through some scriptures here. I'm not going to print them all out. You get to go do some digging. In John, chapter 14, Jesus says this, I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. And guess what? The world can't accept him because it can't see him or know him. It doesn't know him. But you know him. For he lives in you. Sorry. For he lives in you. And with you. So he lives. You will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And he's talking to his disciples. This is before his death, burial, and resurrection. I will not leave you as orphans. and I will come to you. Again, God's personal presence, his Holy Spirit, will come. The same Spirit in Jesus, the same Spirit from the Father, he will come. I'll not leave you as orphans. John 16, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me. And he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belong to the Father is mine. And that is why I say the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. We have truth that comes our way. We have the personal presence of God, the Holy Spirit in us, who makes known to us what's on the Father's mind. Now, I'm going to take us to the book of Luke. If you have your Bibles, you can turn and open to that, chapter 11. And we're going to kind of move our way through this kind of quickly, but this chapter starts out with Jesus being asked, you know, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And he starts sharing with them. And as you pray, and we know the Lord's Prayer, let's say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses or sins as we forgive those who trespass or sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So he teaches them to pray, and Luke's version there is a little shorter than that, but Jesus says to them, he tells them this little parable. Suppose you have a friend. Anybody have a friend? Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a long journey has come. He's come to me, and I have no food to offer him. Okay. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Okay, friends. No, it is. It's a friend. What the heck are you doing? I'm in bed. Come on. What kind of a friend are you coming at midnight to do this, right? They're friends, but stuff happens. And you say, you're no friend of mine because you're waking me up. We won't wake you up. We know how you'll feel then. I won't come to you. But he says, suppose the one inside, okay, it's answered that. I tell you that even though he will not get up and give him bread because of the friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So just like, oh, man. Okay, I'll give you bread, whatever, just like because of the shameless audacity. He didn't care that you were asleep in that. It's just, I got a friend here who needs something to eat. The persistence of that, the ongoing of that. Now think about that. That's what he said. If you keep, come on, knocking on that door, I need some bread. Come on, get out of bed. Come give me some bread, okay? So we've got this little story Jesus tells. Then he goes on to say this. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. We know that one. And it's talking about the shameless audacity to keep going no matter what and no matter when. So keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, because you will receive. It doesn't stop there, though. Verse 11 says, which of you, If your son asks for a fish, we'll give him a steak instead. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. Hey, kids. Hey, teens. Do any of you know what a scorpion is? If you went to your mom and dad and said, hey, I want a sandwich, and they handed you a scorpion, what would you think? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Why? Right. What are you doing? We know that that's bad parenting. So if we know that's bad parenting and that's not what we want to do, and this goes on to say, if then you, though you were evil, though you aren't as perfect and pure as God, know that this kind of stuff is bad. How much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You know, the church has kind of become split all over the place about Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes with power and life and purpose and gifts of all kinds, and we become afraid of him. And I'm not saying we here at the church, I'm talking the church universal. There's a lot of people who are afraid of the Holy Spirit. Don't you be one of them tongue talking. That's the devil serpent tongue. And that's the belief. Yet if we're coming and asking Father for Holy Spirit, is he going to give us a snake or a scorpion? No, he's giving us Holy Spirit with all the gifts and all the powers and all the presence. Right? It's good. It's good. And so I come to you with that scripture and say, don't let the enemy intimidate you. Don't let people theologically move you away from the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit and all that he has for us. He's the Ruach, the God's personal presence, and he doesn't leave his power and all that he is behind to dwell within us. He comes with kingdom life and all his energy, his life-giving energy, if I can put it that way. Let's go to, now I want to go to John 20 here. Whoops, we got Luke there. Sorry, I forgot to put that up. And this is after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So let's turn here to John 20. And this is where Jesus has already risen. He's shown himself to Mary Magdalene. Some of the disciples ran to the tomb. And we're starting at verse 19. It says, on the eve of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, when the doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, okay, and again, you're sitting there, you're worried, you're concerned, you're anxious, what's going on? And all of a sudden, Jesus is there in the locked room. Wah! Where did you come from? First of all, they saw him buried in the tomb. They heard the news, but now he's there in the locked room. How did he do that? Powerful presence of Holy Spirit. No door locked can prevent God from being there. And then he says to them, peace be with you. Sorry, I lost my place. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And at that, he breathed on them and said, like that, and receive the Holy Ghost. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. And if you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven. And then we know that he continued to minister and teach all of the disciples and those came along. So we can go to the book of Acts. You can turn there with me if you want. Actually, I wrote it out on my page, so I'm going to get ahead here. In Acts 1, verses 3 to 5, a period of over 40 days. He was with them for a period of over 40 days. Talked with them, ate with them. So is he a ghost? No, he was by ate with them and spoke with them about, Wendell, what did he speak with them about? The kingdom. I'm picking on Wendell because he taught on it last week. He spoke on the kingdom. Now, it says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this commandment. So we know that where they're at. He says, don't leave Jerusalem. Where are they at? Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, which we just covered all those scriptures there. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. How many days had Jesus been with them?
40.
What? How many days till Pentecost then?
10 more days.
It wasn't a long wait. 10 more days, and they waited there. So from the evening of his resurrection to those 40 days, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:6 that he appeared to over 500 people. In fact, one grouping was over 500 people. It wasn't a secret. It wasn't something that didn't, you know, it happened and people were talking. People saw it. There is witness and testimony to it. Well, then we come to Acts 2. Jesus has ascended. They're being obedient and waiting in Jerusalem. They're gathered together. How are they gathered together, Linda? In one accord. And what were they doing? Worshiping and praying. I'm saying that again. If you missed it, got to go back and watch. Little taster there. They were together in one accord, praising and worshiping God and praying. And it says, and when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly the sound of a what? Yeah, a blowing wind, a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Wind again, rock. The wind of God, the power of God came. Again, it's not just, isn't that interesting? There is symbolism and purpose. God's Spirit has done this time and again. The rock. And then it goes on to say, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on them. All of them were touched by the Holy Spirit.
Filled.
What?
Filled.
Holy Spirit isn't on the outside alongside. He is filling them with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I want you to think back to that tabernacle where we saw that pillar of fire. And now the fire, the presence, the personal presence of God fills the believer. Holy Spirit comes to fill the believer. I don't know about you, I'm kind of excited about that.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing to think the powerful personal presence of God dwells in the believer. Now, I'm not going to get into it much today, but we know that Jesus breathed and said, receive the Holy Spirit, and he taught with them, and they heard, and the Spirit spoke with them. But there is the filling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look into that in a couple of weeks as to what does that mean? Where is the difference between one and the other? Is there a difference? There's lots that say, no. I don't see that in Scripture. I say, but what about this one? And what about that one? But we'll look at that. And again, we want to come together and hear what Holy Spirit is showing us, because we have been filled with his presence. He is the Spirit of truth. bringing all truth and making that revelation. He's the one who empowers us to go forth and make disciples, as Jesus said. He's the one that comes in and has created new, he comes with new creation, changing the hearts that were full of chaos and the effects of evil and the that, and he takes, and we're washed by the blood of Jesus, and he comes in and makes new creation, a new heart within us, new life, a heart that loves God fully and well, and a heart that loves people fully and well. And when we are filled with his personal presence, we become a part of that new creation and spreading it across the whole face of the earth, if I put it that way, as we come to people. We share the good news of Jesus and the kingdom with the power and the presence of Holy Spirit in us. Peter walks along the road in his very shadow, so full of the presence of God, his very shadow brought healing, brought life, kingdom life. You know what? The Holy Spirit is still working today. The Holy Spirit is still hovering over the dark places of the world, pointing people to Jesus and bringing people into a transforming and empowering life in him so that they can love God and love others like Jesus did, like we are. Holy Spirit in us. Holy Spirit poured out on all. In Romans 8, I think I have the scripture here. I don't know again if you can read it. Romans 8, verses 9 to 11 says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, you believe in Jesus, that even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." Anybody happy about that today? Praise God. Praise God. Holy Spirit comes not only to remind us and to bring back to remembrance all the things that Jesus taught, but it comes in us to empower us to live godly, righteous lives. It isn't all just about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes that's the way we go, right? We think about that. It's all about the gifts. But it's more than that. It's more to live righteous, godly lives. But let me tell you a little secret. There's a gift that he's given us. And it's the power, it's speaking in tongues, which we saw. It's one of the many gifts. And it's one of the most controversial gifts. Because, but we don't necessarily, well, I shouldn't say that. Some of us have received it and rejoice in it. But sometimes we come and, well, God doesn't want me to have it. Well, I tell you what, there is a gift, there's a couple of gifts. This is a gift of a prayer language that edifies and encourages the believer. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you have not received that gift and that's something that you want, we're going to pray for you for that. Amen. And I want you to not be afraid of the unknown. Do you know that that's one of our things? We don't like the unknown. And when we have something that's unknown in our lives, we have a tendency to go to the negative and put some kind of idea together so we know something, because we don't like the unknown. But the Holy Spirit is known to God and known to you. And again, I just want to pray for those that want that gift. If that's not something you're ready for, don't panic, don't worry. It doesn't make you an unbeliever. But if it is something, right where you are, we could lay hands on you if that's what you need, but right where you are, Holy Spirit, they were all sitting in a room around, Holy Spirit came. But if you want us to lay hands on you and pray for you for that, by all means. By all means. Because Jesus reminded us, just ask the Father. He's not going to give you something. He'll give you Holy Spirit. It's a good gift. Amen. So, Father, as we come before you, and we thank you that you give us good gifts, Papa, Abba. I pray for everyone here who desires the gift of speaking in tongues right now. I release that. I speak the release of that, Holy Spirit. I thank you. And we just recognize that you are here wanting to fulfill that desire. And so again, we give you praise and honor and glory, Jesus, because of what you did for us, that we can now have the very personal presence of God, his Holy Spirit living in us. And Holy Spirit, we just again stir it up in him. Stir it up in each one. The release of speaking in tongues. And if you have that gift and if you just want to take a minute right now just to speak in tongues, to encourage those who are seeking, thank you, Father. Again, I thank you. I praise you. For those of you seeking, just start trusting. It'll rise up from within you, the middle of you. The Spirit just rise up within you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The word tells us that when we speak in this language, we are uttering great mysteries of the kingdom of God. And we thank you for that. And we can even ask for interpretation. Lord, what are we saying? What am I saying? What am I speaking forth, Holy Spirit? Glory and praise and honor to God Most High. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. We worship you. We praise you. We give you glory. Hallelujah.